www.thebiblecompendium.com.
It's not so much a series, it's more of a theme, I guess, over the next couple of weeks. That was then, this is now. And, you know, there was something that inspired maybe the title, I guess, of the theme or whatever, but it was about a week and a half ago, and we were at one of our kids' choir concerts. It was Taryn's last middle school choir concert, which is really weird to think. I mean, it was a milestone when all of our kids were no longer in elementary school, and now this is our last child in middle school. They're all going to be high school or up after this, which makes you feel really old, probably because I'm getting really old, so it makes sense. But anyway, at this concert, this choir concert, one of the things that they do, and you may have seen this before, is they bring up all these pictures of the kids, and they'll take a current picture of the kid and then bring up an older picture of the kid, one that might be just a few years ago, depending on how, you know, how self-conscious the person is and which one they submitted. But some of them go way back to like when they were toddlers or even babies and that sort of thing. So it was very cool just to see these kids and what they looked like back then and kind of compare them to what they look like now. Now, I could have, I suppose, shown you some of our own kids' pictures in this loop here, but instead I decided to do something different. Let's turn it into a little bit of an activity about then and now. And I'm going to bring up some pictures of a celebrity and that person's child picture, and then I want to see if you can guess who it is. Okay, so it might be tough. I don't know. Maybe it'll be easy for you. But let's see if you can take a guess who it is. So our first one is, go ahead and bring up the first picture of as a child. All right, this is a, you know, grade school picture of the celebrity who is a singer. Anybody see it? No. What? Who said? Say it out loud. Katy Perry. Katy Perry right there. Okay, that's a good one. All right, that was then, this is now. Okay, next one. Next one, child picture. Bob, you put these in the slideshow. You probably had Rachel check them, so you two disqualified. All right. All right, so wait, I think I heard it back there. Ryan Gosling, okay, that's pretty easy one, Mickey Mouse Club, right? So Ryan Gosling. Bob is whistling at Ryan Gosling over there. I don't know. Okay. The next one, this might go back a little ways. Back a little ways. Black and white picture, actually. So maybe you can see it. This is then, or that was then. Anybody? This is a singer. Neither. Let's show the next one. Cher. All right. That was then, this is now. That was Cher, okay? Next one. This is a little rough of a picture. It was the very best it could do. This actually, what's that? Not Darth Vader. This is actually from a book cover, and it was the very best picture because I'm not sure if they even had cameras back then. No, I'm just kidding. This is a newscaster. Close. Yes, Tom Brokaw. Next picture. Next picture. Okay, so Tom Brokaw. Last one right here. I love this picture, so I had to include one more. Okay, last one. Who is it? George Clooney. Pretty easy. It's so funny. It's like just a little tiny version of that guy. All right, so that was then, this is now. Pretty fun. Okay, so I was thinking about how this relates to us as followers of Jesus this past week. And, you know, some of you may have become followers of Jesus fairly recently, but I know that for many of us, and I would say most of us here, that is something that happened some time ago. Okay, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe decades ago for some of us that we came to be a follower of Christ. And, you know, hopefully over the years, there are many things that have changed in us. We don't look the same as we did when we first started following Jesus, right? We've begun to look more like Jesus, more like him, and less like who we used to be because that was then and this is now. So that's kind of where this theme comes from. Now, Paul, paints a picture of this in Scripture in a number of places. But this morning, we're going to be spending a bit of time in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. If you're following along in the Bibles here, it's pages 976, 77, and 78. So 977, 76, 78. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit. Some of these verses will be up on the screen, though, too. But we're focusing in on the idea, primarily one verse, that it's all going to kind of move from there. And that is Ephesians 5, 8. And here's the verse. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Okay, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Now, a couple of words I've emphasized on here just because we'll pay some special attention to them. The first one is that word or phrase, "at one time." Now, little Greek, the Greek word pata means formerly or at one time. And the main idea is whatever this thing refers to, this word or phrase refers to, it's now in the past. It's a thing of the past. So once, at one time, you were darkness. Okay, that is supposed to be a thing of the past. That was then. Now the next phrase, "but now," it's really those two words kind of retranslated. "De" means but, "noon" means now. So "de noon" is "but now." It means on the other hand. "Presently, however," or "but now." And the real, you know, it's very much similar to our English, but the key idea of this is that phrase marks a transition to something new, right? The word "but" refers to something new. That thing that is in contrast, that new thing that's going to be mentioned is in contrast to what was before. That's the idea of the word "but." So once in the past, you were darkness. But now, Paul says, you are light in the Lord. So that was then. This is now, is what he's saying. So when you put your faith and trust in Christ, when we've took that step and did that, our status changed, right? Our position changed. Once we were darkness, and now, in the present, we're light. Now, Paul uses this contrast throughout Scripture, throughout Ephesians. And so I want to look at a few different places. If you want to flip back or look back to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Okay, so Paul says, you once were dead and lifeless. You once were walking in sin. You were following in the ways of the world and in the ways of the evil one, the devil. You were living out the passions of the flesh and carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And because of this, you once were a child of wrath. These things describe who you once were. Every one of us, every one of us that has put our faith and trust in Christ, this describes who we once were. Past tense, right? That's who we used to be. That was then. But then in verse 4, that changes. Verse 4, he says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So now, you're alive in Christ. You're raised up and seated with him. You're saved, and you are his workmanship. This is now. Okay. Now, a little later on in chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and then we'll jump ahead to 19, He writes this, "Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Verse 19, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So again, can we see this contrast, right? You once were far off. You once were separated, alienated, strangers to God, without hope, without God. That was then. But now, you've been brought near to Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. You're counted among the saints. And you are members of the family or household of God. This is now. If you back up into Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, we're not going to read this, but here's a synopsis of what it says, and it's pretty amazing. It says, "But now we are blessed. You are chosen. You are adopted. You are redeemed," which means we're bought back with a price, the price that Jesus paid. "You are forgiven. You have an inheritance. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and you have the hope of Christ." Now, it's not only in Ephesians that we find Paul writing like this. Romans 11:30, this one will be up on the screen. "For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy." Okay, "For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy." Okay, "You're no longer disobedient. You were at one time, but you aren't anymore because you've received mercy and you're forgiven." Now, it's also not just Paul who writes this. We see Peter use a similar contrast. 1 Peter 2:10 says this, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Pretty straightforward there. One time, we didn't belong to God in that sense of being His, but now we are. Now we do. "At one time, we had not received mercy, but now we have." This idea is even captured in the old hymn, "Amazing Grace," right? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Right? It's this theme of, look, that was then, and this is now. Now, when I was thinking about this week, I thought there is incredible power and hope and confidence in hearing these things about ourselves, isn't there? That this is our identity. Theologically speaking, as we look at Scripture, according to the Scripture, this is who we are. "I once was dead, disobedient, walking in sin, but now I'm spiritually alive, righteous, and walking in truth." That's an amazing reality. Unfortunately, I think there is a danger here. We sometimes view ourselves as who the Scriptures say we are now, and we cling to this as our spiritual reality, yet we still live like we did back then. Right? And that's not what we're being called to. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, things are supposed to change. And this is kind of our key idea. It's really one main thing for this morning. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, there's supposed to be a notable difference between who you once were and who you are now. Right? That's what this picture is painting in the Scripture. There's supposed to be a difference between who you once were and who you are now. We can't just cling to this spiritual, theological truth in principle. It's also got to be put in practice. We need to live it out. And that's why it's really important because, you know, Paul just doesn't say, "For at one time you were full of darkness," or "you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." The next part of that verse is pretty important. Walk as children of the light. Right? It's not just about who we are. It's about what we're intended to do. So that phrase, walk as children of the light. I'm going to get a little Bible nerdy here, okay? So just because I thought it's a simple thing, but sometimes thinking about the depth of one particular word can be pretty significant and meaningful. So this Greek word for walk is peripateo, and it's the word, that's the word used here. It means walk, to live, or to conduct your life. Okay, nothing earth-shattering about the actual definition. But a couple things about this word and when Paul uses it. First of all, this word is a verb, clearly, which means it's, first of all, this word is an action. All right, this word is an action. It's something that he's saying we need to do. We need to walk in this way. Again, it's not just about who we are or our being. It's about what we're supposed to do. Now, the second thing, it's in this imperative mood, and you don't have to get too tripped up on that, but here's the guts of it. It's a command. All right? So it's an action, but it's also a command. Like, not an option. Walk. We're supposed to do that. It's a command to us. The third thing that we see about this is it's in an active voice. Now, there are some words that imply that we that God does something for us or to us. But here, this is something we have to do for ourselves. Okay? It's something we must do for ourselves. We're called to walk in this way. We have to take action. And, you know, God isn't doing this for us. He isn't making us do this. Nobody else can do it for us. It's something we have to live out practically. And it's in the present tense, which is meaning it's something that should be happening right now. Okay? Right now. Because the other stuff, that was then. This is now. So, again, a little bit nerdy in all of this, but there's some pretty deep meaning to the use of this word and how Paul says it. Right? It's an action, something we're supposed to do. It's something he commands us to do, we're commanded to do for ourselves, and we're to do it right now. Now, the other thing about it is it's in the second person, like the word you. It's like saying, you, walk. So Paul's kind of saying, hey, you, I'm talking to you. This is your command. This is what you must do. You need to do it for yourself right now. Okay, so that's the spirit of this word, walk. And he says, walk as children of the light. Make sure you're living in a way that reflects who you're supposed to be, not who you once were. Right? That's the idea here. Because those sinful ways, those that sinful person you were, those things that are supposed to be in the past, that was then. Now you're a believer. Now you're a follower of Christ. Now you belong to him. So act like it. Right? Walk as children of the light. Now, if you want a brief picture of what that looks like, just read through Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, the rest of it. It's a good start. I mean, he talks about not having a hard heart, not being callous to God, not being given over to sensuality or being greedy or being impure, because that's not the way that we learned we were to follow Christ. He talks about putting off corruptions and deceitful desires and falsehood, anger, stealing, sexual immorality, covetousness, crude joking, idolatry. He says, don't disobey the Holy Spirit. Right? And in the midst of all that, it's a pretty good description of some things we can be focused on. But in the midst of all that, he says this, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. That was then. Right? That was then. And instead, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Right? Put on the new self. Be renewed. Be conformed to Christ's image in God's likeness. Be righteous. Be holy. Take off the old self. That was who you once were. That was then. This is now. So back to Ephesians 5:8. For at one time, in the past, you were full of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So therefore, walk as children of the light. Now, I share this morning to bring us to the point we are at in our worship gathering where we're going to be celebrating communion together. And in case this is a new practice for you here at Portico, everyone is invited to participate. You don't have to be a member of Portico, which is a good thing because we don't have membership. So that makes it easy for everyone. You don't have to be a member of it. You don't have to reach us, jump through any hoops or anything. You can participate. But here's what we want you to know. The purpose of communion is to remember that Jesus gave his life on the cross for our sin. Right? He made a way for us to be made right with a perfect and holy God. He invites us to put our faith and our trust in him. And when we ask for forgiveness from our sins, we are reconciled to God through him. Okay? So as we come, it's an invitation for us to do that. Right? When we read about how we're called to walk as children of the light, and maybe we hear some of these things that Paul writes about, and we go, I'm not sure that I've been there. Or maybe we think about certain areas of our life and go, I have seriously fallen short in this area. It's an opportunity for us to come to him and to find that forgiveness, that grace, that mercy once again. And to remember that is why he gave his life on the cross, to make us right with God. If you are here for a first time and are saying, look, I've never put my faith and trust in Christ, I don't think that's anyone here, honestly. But maybe it is. We need to remember that by default, we're all part of the kingdom of darkness, right? Once you were darkness, by default, we're all part of the kingdom of darkness until or unless we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Because until we do that, we're at odds with God who is perfect and holy. But God gave Jesus to call us out of that darkness into the kingdom of light. And Jesus is the only way by which that happens. So we need to surrender our lives to him. So if that's you for the first time, in a moment, we're just going to take some quiet time and just simply pray that prayer. Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins for the first time and invite him to be the Savior, the one who makes you right with God by putting your faith and trust in him. For the rest of us, once we were part of that kingdom of darkness, right? When? At one time, formerly, in the past, but that was then. This is now. Now we're light in the Lord. We're called to let go of our former way of life and walk as children of the light. So are there areas in our life or in our heart where we have not or are not walking as he calls us to? Are there areas of sin that maybe we're hanging on to that we need to let go of and surrender to Jesus? Are there sinful ways that we're not leaving behind us and keeping that past in the past? And so we want to take these next few moments just to examine our heart and to confess any areas where we might have those things lingering or those activities because we've gone off track. And we want to do that because if we confess these things to the Lord, Scripture tells us he's faithful and just and he will forgive them. We have that assurance. So we're going to take just a quiet moment here, and we're going to bring the lights down a little bit and let this be a moment just between you and God. It's not quite as quiet as we thought it might be, but that'll get fixed. And I just want to invite you in this moment to think about those things. Are there areas for you that you need to surrender to God or re-surrender to God once again? And so we're just going to take two or three minutes, a few moments, in a quiet prayer, and then I will invite you to come up and we'll take communion together. So let's take some time to speak with our God this morning. Just want to invite you to come whenever you feel you're ready in the next minute or two to just take a piece of the bread and the juice and take that back to your seat, and then in a few minutes we'll take communion together. Feel free to come when you're ready. Lord God, we do trust what you say when you promise that if we confess our sin to you, that you are faithful and just and will forgive it. And so this morning, as things may have been stirred up in our hearts, we want to confess those to you. In fact, we have. And we are trusting in the blood of Jesus that was poured out for us and in his body that was broken on the cross for us to be made right with you. We know we can't be holy and righteous like you on our own, but we know that through him we can be washed clean, made new. And you have done an incredible thing in giving us Jesus to make a way for us to be right with you. We're so thankful for that. And because of that, we remember what he did this morning in our time of communion together. We remember what he did on the cross. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about communion. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. And it says, "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Let's drink together. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your mercy and your forgiveness. We cling to that this morning. And we ask for you to give us strength to move forward in a way that we walk as children of the light, who formerly were darkness, but now are light in you. We lift this before you in the name of Jesus. And it's you we worship this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.